That got a green light. Well, good morning, guys. Want to thank Jim and Tracy and John for putting this all together. It's amazing, and like he was sharing, to hear a bunch of men sing. Man, what a blessing! So, as we get started this morning. I'm a little nervous, so I apologize. I don't. Absolutely. So I'm part of the men's ministry at Springs Lighthouse. I'm an elder. I'm a sound guy. Been walking with the Lord for, rededicated my life in 91. And I'm going to go into a little bit of that before we get into our text. But I got some questions for you guys. Why are you here? Why are we here? Ask yourself that, okay? Are you here just to get a free breakfast? Are you here to hang out with your buddies? No, we're here to worship, to honor and glorify God in all that we do, right? We want to be better dads, better men, better husbands. But do we want to do it our way, or do we want to do it God's way? Yeah. And to do it God's way, we have to be about God's business, right? So in the beginning, before we were saved, we were about our way, right? We were about whatever pleased us, whatever purpose we had. And really, as we look back on that, our purpose changed daily. You know, I want this car, I want that girl, I want this, I want that. And that's what motivated us to do things. And it was really empty. There was really nothing there. Except the next thing. And there was just, for me, there was just nothing. And I grew up in a church. I grew up here in the Springs, riding on the little blue bus to church. We did Sunday school, and then we did what we call big church. And being in big church, the guy standing up here in his suit, all I can remember is, you know, hellfire and brimstone, and you're going to hell, and you know, if you don't repent, and I'm like, man, this is a bummer. This is just weird. So I knew of God, but I didn't know God. And so as you know, I grew up, same thing, got married. My wife, it's kind of funny, my wife's mom and dad went to Calvary Chapel here in the early 70s. Who's from Worship Center? Is there anybody here from Worship Center? So, Pastor Al was a congregant. He was just a guy that served a church. And look what God did through a guy that was available to serve at church, right? So we moved to California, started looking for a church. I went to Assemblies of God Church. And I think it was the first time I was there, went down for prayer, and they wouldn't let me leave until I spoke in tongues, and I was freaked out. It was like, I just mumbled some stuff and headed for the door. And my in-laws were going to a little church in Auburn, California, which is just west of Sacramento. The pastor was Greg Dunham, and so we decided to go up there and check that out. Sorry, John, my volume is like, my wife complains that I talk too quietly. But we started going to this church in Auburn. It's Calvary Chapel, and here's a pastor. He's wearing khaki pants and a polo shirt. We're in a Quonset hut. Little did I know that that's normal for Calvary Chapel. And he's talking about this guy that keeps putting his foot in his mouth. And I'm like, I can relate to that guy. He's my hero. And he's talking about Peter. And he made the Bible real to me. You know? Now the Bible wasn't these guys that walked 2 feet off the ground. They were normal guys like me that God could use to serve him and bring glory to him through every action. And so as we go from being sinners to saved, God now puts a purpose and a mission on our hearts, right? How many of you guys have been in business or done your trade for more than 5 years? Okay. So your first time, your first week at work, do you know more than what you did your first week at work? Absolutely. Why? Because you trained. On the job training. You trained for that. You studied for that, right? Sean indicated last night that God starts the humility process and works that in us. But we have to step up to let him do that. Same with self-discipline. And we're going to get there in a second. God sets this purpose. He goes, I know you're a young believer, but I'm going to do amazing things in your life if you'll keep your eyes focused on me, if you'll study the word, if you'll apply yourself. If you'll invest in me, I'll invest in you. What does he say? You come to the door and knock, and I will open. We have to come to the door to knock, right? We have to step out. We have to invest in God. We don't just slap a little name tag on our shirt and go, I'm a Christian. We're good now. I've saved. I got fire insurance. No. God goes, you have no idea what I got in store for you. But the way to find out, be in his word. Be under a good biblical teacher and spend time in prayer with him. Has anybody heard of the, catechisms? Okay. What's the chief end of man? And? There's two parts to that. To glorify God and enjoy him. Enjoy him forever. Now here are these guys I think it was in the 1600s when they did this. They decided these are our purpose statements. God wants us to glorify him in everything that we do, everything we say, how we act, how we drive, which I struggle with that one. But enjoy him forever. Enjoy. From the time that we get saved till the time we cross over into heaven, we get to enjoy our relationship with God. And Sean indicated that sometimes suffering, God draws us close. In those times of suffering, he breaks us. He brings us into a place where we have nothing but him, right? We taught on James a month ago, and of course I got chapter 1, which is, you know, count it all joy, brethren, when you run into various trials and trials. And guess what happened? We had trials, but it drew me closer to God. If we recognize who God really is, okay, he's our creator, he has a plan, he knows us so well, but we have to serve him, right? We're here to serve God. So Colossians says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 24 says, bondservants, obey bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily with purpose as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a you will receive the reward of the inheritance for your service in Christ. Who's our confidence in? Christ alone, right? Now, you guys are probably saying, I'm not a bondservant, John. I'm not that. And I'm going, oh, yes, you are. You're a servant to somebody, right? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We're serving somebody, you guys. Ourselves, or we're serving God. And we have to choose. We have to make that decision to follow God. Paul, James, and Peter all use this term, bondservant, in their teachings. Why? Because they were sold out. Chuck Smith I found Chuck Smith's description of a bondservant. It says a bondservant was just that. One who lived completely for his master. Completely for his master. He had no rights of ownership. He couldn't hold a title to anything. And everything he had belonged to his master. He was only there to serve his master. We have to get a grip on that. We are not our own. We are God's. He bought us with a price. Our Christian walk is not just a little name tag that we have on. Our Christian walk is us putting the gospel to our feet and walking a walk that is worthy of the calling of God. Why did they use that term? Because they knew what God did for them, right? They knew that Jesus sacrificed his life for them, that they could be servants of God. They were sold out. They were sold out for God. And they wanted to be about God's business. What was one of the phrases Jesus always used? I'm about my... Exactly. Good, good. I like when people interact. Not hecklers, John, wherever you're at. That was something Jesus was focused, man. He was focused. He had a purpose. We have a purpose in Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross isn't just this little gold thing that we wear around our neck. The cross my mind just went blank. That's an old man syndrome. It was a sign of torture. He prayed before he was arrested. He prayed to the Father, and he prayed hard enough that he sweated blood. That God would, if God would take this away from him. If not, then I'm going to do it anyway. That's the humanity that Jesus had. God in human form. All man, all God. But he was human. He had compassion for his people. He had passion for the lost. We have a little bucket at Springs Lighthouse that we baptize the phones in. I'm just kidding. As men of God, are you ready to follow Christ? Oh, a couple of you guys are, huh? Let's try this again. As men of God, are you ready to follow Christ? Okay, no stipulations. There's no, as long as it's from the time of salvation to the time we cross over to heaven. It's a commitment. Here's some stats on how valuable godly men are in the church. When a mother comes to faith, some of you guys might have heard this, when a mother comes to faith, there's a 17% chance that the kids will follow. That's kind of sad. But when a father comes to faith, there's a 93% chance, there's a 93% chance that the whole family will come to Christ. The world wants us to think that we are just a bunch of knuckleheads, that we are not worthy. God has a different plan. God finds us important from the creation of the world, from before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1:1-4. He knew us. He knew who we were from before he created the world. He knew our beginning and our end. He knew what he had planned for us. Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of us know that. I think Sean touched on that. God has a plan for us. And that plan is perfect because God is perfect. God knows when we make our mistakes. God knows we're going to make our mistakes. That's all part of it. God doesn't want perfect people representing God. You know what happens when perfect people represent God? They represent him incorrectly. He wants men that are submitted to God to represent God because he is the hero of the story. We're not. We are just bondservants. We are here to glorify God in all that we do. He knows every hair on your head, even LT's head. That's how intimate he knows you guys. He loves you guys. He wants to do amazing things through us. That's why I think this is awesome. This has been so exciting to see God bringing guys together. So we're almost to that part where I'm supposed to be reading my verses and doing my teaching. But we have to have a base for our discipline, our self-discipline. We have to have a goal. We have to have purpose for that discipline, right? Don't we? Or else it's not going to be worth doing. I had a buddy that wanted to lift weights one time. He was all beefed up. And I'm like, man, I'd look really good looking like him. And I started to work out. And it's like, man, this is not worth it. You know, a couple weeks I did it and everything hurt, my arms hurt, I'm done. But the fun thing about God, he knows when we do that kind of stuff. And he pats us on the butt and gets us back on track. He takes us through things to help us to stay on track. But we have to step out in faith and follow God. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. Corinthians is again, I just lost it. Corinthians was a church that Paul started. And the fun thing about Paul, we read a lot about Paul. Paul invested in a lot of guys. And you get bits and pieces of their names and stuff. If you read the book of Colossians, there's 10 guys in the book of Colossians that ministered to Paul, and Paul ministered to them. And they went back, and they ministered to their church and to their fellow believers. Guess what, guys? That's your job. You guys need to invest in each other, be it a men's Bible study, mentoring, being mentored. You young guys that are just young in your faith, and there's some old guys that are young in their faith, so I'm talking about maturity in their faith. If you're young, find that guy that you've been watching that looks like he's been walking with Christ for a while and glean off of him. And you old guys, us old guys that have been walking with God for a while, you need to step it up and step along these guys, because the world is out to take them out. And it's up to us to invest in our guys to help them grow. So, sorry, back to verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now these guys in Corinth, they were sports fans. You guys can't relate to that, huh? And they worship their sports athletes just like we do. You know, they were diehard fans for this guy or that guy. So Paul uses these things that can relate to them so they can understand and apply it in their walk. So 24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Again, Paul's talking about things that they recognize. These guys trained for months and months to run this race. If you don't train, you don't win. If you don't invest in your Christian walk, you get nothing. It's important that we take our Christian walk seriously. But he doesn't say run to beat that guy. He doesn't say run to beat that guy. He says run the race to win. It's personal. It's our own personal race. My race is different from John's race, from Jim's race. We have the same goal in mind. We're still running towards heaven. We're still running for God. But our races are different. But God wants us to race a good race. God wants us to race a faithful race. God doesn't want us taking each other out, because I go to Springs Lighthouse. I go to Eastside Calvary. Sean talked about it. Jim talked about it last night. We are all one body. Amen. Christ calls us the body of Christ. That means that my finger can't go off and do its own thing. It's attached. We do different things, but we all have the same goal. We are all part of the body. And we all need to work together. We all have to be able to agree to disagree if there's things that we don't agree on. But we still glorify God in doing so. So run your race. We're going to get into a little bit how to run that race in a sec. And everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Now these athletes, those of you, my buddy John runs, which I think he's crazy, but it's what he wants to do. He wants to run up the peak. But he can't just start out, and he didn't just start out and run a marathon, which is 26 miles? 13 miles. He trained. First he ran a mile, then they trained for a while and ran 2 miles, and they gradually built up. Our Christian walk is the same thing. Paul talks, I think it's Paul, talks about you take the milk. You don't eat solid food yet. And as young Christians, we take in the milk, we take in that stuff. But as we grow, we start eating meat and potatoes. We start eating good food, solid food that makes us strong. We have to grow in Christ. That's why it's important to be in the Word on a daily basis. Not just reading it like, you know, you read a magazine, but taking the verses and getting your big concordance out, bunk, and reading what those words mean. You know, there's a great app. It's called Blue Letter Bible. It has a concordance all with it, and it's a great tool when you're reading in the Word. It gives you all kinds of information, good commentaries, good biblical commentaries. We have to invest in our relationship. I've been doing what I do. I work on RVs, and I've been doing what I do for 38 years. And I have to stay up with the technology. I have to train. I have to be self-disciplined. I have to work on what's important to me, right? As we follow God, He teaches us to be self-disciplined. He teaches us what is important. These guys trained. They also ran their race with integrity. They didn't cheat. They didn't take shortcuts. They put the time in to train, and they ran a good, clean race. Paul talks about finishing the race well. That's what we're called to do, is finish our race well. You know who stands around and watches races? People. They watch you. Your unbelieving friends, your Christian friends, watch you. How you act, how you walk, what you say, what you do. And they make a judgment on who God is, which is sad, by who we are. We have to realize our Christian walk is important. So what's your training plan? Do you guys spend time in the Word? Amen. Do you guys spend time in prayer? Amen. Do you spend time in prayer alone? Do you spend time in prayer with your brothers in Christ? God didn't call us to be lone rangers. Again, we are the body of Christ. We don't do this by ourselves. We have to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit and in God's plan. Verse 26 says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Do you have confidence in God? That's where our confidence is at. Does He give you purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? As a Christian, you know what your calling is, your gifts. He gives us abilities. He gave me my ability to do what I do. But He's also given us gifts to minister to the body, to minister to those people that are out there. But our confidence is in God. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, right? Lives inside of us. And with that kind of power, we can move mountains. If you had the faith of a tiny mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to go from there to there, right? Absolutely. God does amazing things if we will believe and trust in him. Our confidence is God. We have purpose. We're not just beating the air. We're not just running in place. We are running with a purpose. We got to remember, the enemy doesn't want us to do this. And he wants to distract us. You know, I praise God for Sean last night. That guy was hurting. That guy was beat up. And he came up here and he taught. I was just amazed. I was humbled by that. Amen. And he was spot on. God really spoke through him last night. But God doesn't want us to be here. God would rather have us sitting at home watching television, yelling at the kids, or doing something else, but not learning how to walk with God. Remember, our purpose is to glorify God in everything that we do. Our words, our actions, our deeds, the way we drive, the way we walk through the supermarket. We are a reflection of Jesus Christ to an unsaved world. And there are those out there that hate that, but there's a bunch that are out there that need us to be Jesus Christ to them. This verse stuck with me as I was, John Mark asked me a few weeks ago to do this, and oh my gosh, man, stuff just going through my head trying to study. You guys need to pray for your pastors, because man, they invest a lot, and so often they're by themselves, because we always think the pastor's like up here. You guys, our pastor is right down here with us, and he's just a man, just like us. You guys need to be praying for your pastors. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down by the right hand of God. Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's that joy again. The joy of walking with God. If we take our eyes off of the stuff in this world, coming in today, looking at Pikes Peak, what a blessing. God has placed us in a beautiful state. A little crazy, but a beautiful state. This is God's creation that has fallen, and he's blessed us with that. There is joy in the Lord. So, here we go to the self-discipline part. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Sorry, guys. Again, God empowers us. We have to choose to walk with God. We have to choose to sacrifice. We have to choose to invest. Because we have the spirit and the flesh battling against each other. We're still fallen man. This is not our home. The spirit that lives in us is longing for heaven. Our flesh loves the world. It wants to be here. And now those two entities battle. And so we go from the flesh to the spirit, the flesh to the spirit. And we see that, you know, God is so good. We see that in the Old Testament and the children of Israel. They follow God. They didn't follow God. They follow God. They didn't follow God. They follow God. They didn't follow God. And God did things to them to make them return to him, right? And he did some drastic stuff. But he did some amazing stuff through those guys. And as we invest and as we bring our bodies into submission, you know, we know those crazy thoughts that come into our head. And scripture tells us to bring all those thoughts captive, right, to God. We think that we have to make sure that we're not doing drugs, we're not doing alcohol, and we're not, you know, doing all these bad things. But there's things that distract us from our walk with God that are good things. You know, spending time with our wife and kids, volunteering at church. How many of you guys volunteer at church? What about you guys? Just kidding. God will take care of that. But sometimes, if you've been in the church long enough, you hear, the pastor up here and say, we need a volunteer for children's ministry or security. And you're like, I can do that. And you go and volunteer. Pretty soon you're volunteering so much that you're not under the teacher anymore. You're just distracted with doing good things. The sad thing is, if we volunteer before we pray about being involved, we've taken that opportunity that God has called somebody else to, and we've taken that away from them. So when the call for volunteering is there, pray about it. Make sure God is calling you to do that. Don't just do good things just to do good things. Because there's people that God is trying to work in, and he needs them in those places. So be attentive to the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you if that's right or wrong. He'll tell you to do it or not to do it. But we have to discipline our body. We have to take away those things that distract us from God. Those good things, those bad things, it doesn't matter. We have to start a routine. How many of you guys get up in the morning and start in the Word of God? I know I'm putting you guys on the spot because I'm making you raise your hands. When you start your day with God first, that starts your day. You know, Ephesians tells us that we battle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and spirits and things we cannot see. And he tells us to put on the full arm of God to battle those things. We recognize that we are battling a spiritual battle. We're not battling the guy to cut us off in traffic. We're battling the spirit of anger that made us pissed off and we just want to bump him off the road. If we recognize that we are battling spiritual battles, if we're in the Word of God, God shows us that. God helps us see that throughout the day. And we don't get caught up in the worldly garbage. We don't get caught up in politics and yelling at our president or at the politicians here in our state. God is still in control. Do not forget that. He is still in control. He puts these people in power and he takes them out. But he's still in power. He is still the hero of our story. We don't have to fret about that stuff. We should be involved as Christians. We need to vote correctly. But we need to be self-disciplined. We need to go, that's a spiritual attack. I see that. But we can't do that if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not talking to God on a daily basis, if we're not under good biblical teaching. It's important that you guys invest in that. Yes, God's doing the work. He's got a plan. But we have to be participants. We have to be available. to do what God calls us to do. And you're like, what does that look like? Well, if you're reading your word, you'll see it. Take it, Jesus' example. He taught big crowds. He taught small crowds. He taught these 12 knuckleheads. I mean, these guys were knuckleheads. Guess what? So were we. We were just like those guys. And you know something? In about 30 years after Christ's ascension into heaven, they had spread the gospel to the whole known world. It tells us in Colossians that the gospel had reached the whole known world. From 12 knuckleheads. Now we got 100 knuckleheads here. How much can we do? A lot. We can change our city. We can change our state. But really, really what we need to do is change our families. It starts at home. You know, we invest in our wives. We love our wives like Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for us, those of you that are married. We bring up our children in the way of the Lord. It starts at home, you guys. It starts with you. It starts with me. We look at Paul's example, and I shared a little bit about Paul. I love Paul. That guy, it doesn't matter. He's like chained to these guys, and he's still teaching. He's still teaching his disciples, his guys. And then he's like, okay, now it's your turn to go out, and you go this way. He had a band of guys that were going around the country and stopping by these churches and sharing the gospel with them, helping them start their churches and teach the gospel to these guys. He had a band of guys that were doing this. And he was still involved. No matter where he was at, he was writing letters. He was hearing about what was going on. He was about God's business, no matter what he was doing. The guy was amazing. We have to be about God's business, but we need to know what God's business is. So again, I know I'm beating a dead horse. You gotta be in the Word, not just reading it, but studying it. Being in a men's Bible study or a group Bible study, being one-on-one with another guy, just getting in the Word. Guys, the world wants to kick the crap out of us and keep us down and not involved. Because he knows, the enemy knows, that if guys get involved, 93%, remember, 93%, that's a big leap from 17 to 93. We can make a difference. When God created Adam and gave him Eve, when Eve took of the apple, who got blamed? Who did God hold accountable? Adam. Sorry, John. Adam. He held Adam accountable. If we look through the Bible and see who gets involved in stuff, it's mostly men. We see Joseph. We see Moses. Guy with a speech impediment complained and had his brother help him. God said, okay, I can still do it. God uses men to do this. We have to step up and be about God's business. They had one purpose, and that's to be about God's business. To give God glory. I'm about done, but I'm going to give you a bunch of verses that you can look up and study later. John 15, 1 through 5. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 through 12. Are you guys ready to be about God's business? Yeah, amen. I hope so. Because you better have your armor on. Because the enemy's going to beat the crap out of you. You know, it's funny. The Western Church has done a disservice. Come to Jesus. It'll be unicorns and rainbows. I don't see that in the Bible. These guys got their crap kicked out of them. Can I say that, Jim?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Why ask now? You guys, we need to put our armor on daily because the enemy wants to take us out. The enemy doesn't. The world's already said we're a bunch of idiots. We're a bunch of fools. The enemy's going to go, watch, I'm going to prove him right. And he will, because we will stumble and we will fall. That's who we are. But God knows. God's in charge. He's using the imperfect to glorify the perfect. Thank you, guys. Let me pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, I just lift this time up to you. I pray for Dan as he comes up next. Lord, that you would just bless him, God, that you would speak through him. I pray that you would help us to take something away from this conference that we could just honor you with, Lord. Father, it's so awesome to have an opportunity to stand before you, worship you. I thank you for John and Mike and just the worship that they bring. God, you are so awesome. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.